This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. That is the opening line of Lincoln's final paragraph in an address to Congress that he hopes will help him restore the country. It is December 1st, 1862, 156 years minus 4 days ago. We cannot escape history is the first of the last 13 sentences in the closing paragraph of this long address. In those 13 sentences, Lincoln uses the plural pronouns we and us 16 times. He is really a we the people kind of a guy, right? We know he is the great politician, prophet, and poet for the idea of democracy. For him, American life was about we, not me. Even as we have noted, the night he was first elected, he ran home from the Springfield Railway Telegraph Office to his two-story house on Walnut Street crying, "Mary, Mary, we've been elected." Our democracy, this innovative we form of government, meant everything to him. Wanting to make sure the Congress understood his point, he underscored the word we at the first of this closing paragraph. Yet what about me? Often in spiritual teaching and in religious life, we have been told that we is so much more important than me. Many people in our time reject religion because there seems to be no room for me, for our personal sense of self. Lincoln clearly had a personal sense of himself. So his plural and democratic way did not erase his singular and personal self. In fact, one reason he loved democracy was that it prevented a despot, a dictator, from taking over our personal life. His father had been like that when Lincoln was a boy. His father was a hard man, and Lincoln once said about his youth, "I felt like a slave," a man he wanted to escape. Lincoln is a person of many paradoxes, and one paradox is his balancing of his sense of the value of we together, and his sense of me, of I. His law partner said of Lincoln that he had a great ambition. His ambition was like a little engine always running. Lincoln is a practical role model for those of us who try to find a spiritual way to balance both our personal self and our social self. Not too many miles from where Lincoln grew up in Kentucky, Thomas Merton lived. Merton was a monk at the Gethsemane, Kentucky Trappist Monastery, in the middle of the last century. Many know of his writings. He was very critical of the me part of our society. He once referred to our temporary agreement with our political partisans, leading to, quote, a mild confabulation of clerical hippies. Merton taught that real freedom came from being set free from our monumental self-awareness, our inordinate self-consciousness. He believed that life, as he called it in the spirit, would deliver us from, quote, the obsessions of a culture that thrives on the stimulation and exploitation of egocentric desire. He seemed to suggest that a good dose of Buddhism might help with that. Lincoln, of course, would not know what to make of the Buddhism we know. But there is a large painting of Lincoln that used to hang in a restaurant in Cape May, New Jersey. Lincoln is a dark silhouette, recognizable as the shadow of his iconic profile. And behind him is a huge red circle, like a gigantic rising or setting sun, but more just a circle, a color that we could easily recognize in a Buddhist temple or in a meditation room. It is as if the enlightened self sheds light on the bounded person that Lincoln was serving in the enlightenment of America. That circle of light can, as Lincoln did, light us down in history and in honor, despite any personal significance or insignificance of us. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, The Spiritual Life of Abraham Lincoln.